Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 20, Prameya, Abhideya, Vaidhi. Okay. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya. Aksurunmulitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Tapitam yena bhutale. Swayam rupa kadamayam Yadati sapadantikam Vanshakalpa turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Papanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Greetings from Sand Falls. Tomorrow we will start our Bhakti Immersion retreat at Pumpkin Hollow. Give me just 1 second to come back. 1 second. Okay, we're studying Jiva Dharma, and we have Rajanath and his uncle Vijay, who are coming from a materialistic Brahmin family who are opposing their interest in Krishna consciousness, but they've developed faith by meeting a very, very exalted soul who's giving the mercy of instructions. The main mercy of a sadhu is what his teachings are. Why are we indebted to Prabhupada? Because of his teachings. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jananjana Shalaka Chaksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai. He's opened my darkened eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So Babaji Maharaj has been instructing him in Dashamula, 10 root instructions. The first instruction was pramana. Pramana means what is the evidence for what is your method of evidence to ascertain that what you're going to say is true? And then the next seven were called prameya. Prameya is what is to be known. Is prameya. What is to be known? And what is to be known? First is sambandha, metaphysical knowledge. What is the conception of reality? And now, this is the ninth dashamula. After being instructed in sambandha, what is the nature of reality, that now they want to know Abhideya. What is the means for realizing reality? And they explain what chapter 23, Abhideya, Vaidhi, what is the practices? What are the rules? Because the basis of bhakti is focusing the consciousness on God and therefore awakening in us the desire for God, the desire not for God, which is the cause of the material existence. God satisfies our desire not to be what we are by putting us in the illusion that we're something else, which is a independent enjoyer. So, let's see, 1 second, I have to go back. Okay, so now they specifically ask about what are those different methods by which one can focus his mind on Krishna. And Babaji Maharaj, it's actually from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, listed 64 items. The first 20 is the entrance to bhakti, beginning with first one, which is Guru Parashraya, taking shelter of a guru. Taking shelter of a guru means to take shelter of truth, because the guru is one who represents the shastra, which is the infallible exposition of truth, and a cultured person seeks to be ruled by knowledge, seeks to be ruled by knowledge. And it listed 10 things that are favorable to enter into bhakti, and then 10 more things that are favorable to, that are unfavorable for bhakti. Things that basically the rules, what do we do, the regulations, what we don't, to enter into bhakti. And then it continued with all the various ways in which one practices devotional service. And practice means concentrating the mind. And in bhakti, the concentration of the mind is on God, who appears in this world in various manifestations, including the objects of devotion, the deity, the name, the Bhagavatam, the Dham, the devotees, and the acts of devotion to those objects. And that fixes the mind on God, and like a magnet draws out our natural propensity to love God, our natural desire to love God. And liberation and bondage is simply desire. Liberation and bondage is simply desire. That's all. Liberation and bondage is simply your desire. When you desire to be what you are, which is a devotee, that's liberation. When you desire to be what you're not, which is not a devotee, but an enjoyer and controller, that's bondage. And we're in bondage because we don't want to be who we are, so God facilitates that by his illusory energy. So that illusory energy is following the desire not to be a devotee, because that's the illusion. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Eko bhunam yoga dadati. There's one supreme eternal that's fulfilling the desires of the many. And what is the desire of many of the many? I don't want to be who I am, a servant of God, and therefore I don't want God. And therefore you become in Maya. God fulfills your desire by covering God from you in the illusion that Maya, this is not God, when everything is God. And when you become liberated and you have prema, then you see everything is part of God. And your desire and love to serve God just blossoms from your heart, really, wherever you are. So anyway, these are the items to turn the conscience. That's bhakti. Bhakti means turn the consciousness to God. Because all the problems is because we turn from God, therefore we turn from ourselves, therefore God facilitated that by letting us project our consciousness on a body which makes us feel that we're independent and separate. And from that, all duality and delusion arises. Anyway, listen to 64 items, including the last five. Shraddha Sri Murti, serving the deity, Bhagavad Shravana, hearing the Bhagavatam, Sarum Sangha, associating with devotees who are in the same mood, affection, and more advance them oneself, swajitiya, to snig the sadhu sangha, nam sankirtan, chanting it, mataravas, residing in the holy dao. And now we're up to the part where Vijay wants a detailed explanation of each. So he said, please give us some detailed instructions regarding accepting shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Sri Guru Padashraya. So this is the beginning of the beginning, and therefore it's the entrance. It's the door. Without doing this, nothing else begins really in bhakti. Because unless you take shelter of Guru, which means the shelter of the will of God and the conception of God as the center, you can't enter bhakti. You can't enter bhakti. If you think you're in the center, you'll never see who is. So bhakti begins when you step out of the center. And that develops when you hear and chant about Krishna, you become attracted. And when you become attracted, you want to serve. And serve means to put the object of your service in the center. So Babaji explains, an aspiring disciple should first attain eligibility, adhikar, to perform one pointed devotional service to Sri Krishna, ananya Krishna bhakti. So it begins with adhikari, that I want to surrender to Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. It begins with that adhikari. Ramanda Bhamate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Mata Beach. He should learn the essential truths about Sri Krishna, Krishna Tattva, from a genuine guru by taking shelter of that feet. So he surrenders and he learns. He surrenders. And he learns. What? Tattva. And the example we have here in Jiva Dharma, as you're following with me, is that the disciples are systematically learning tattva. They're learning thatness. They're learning reality. And the reality is Krishna. So they're learning Krishna tattva. They're learning the reality of they're learning tattva. Of what? Krishna. The living entity only attains the qualification for Krishna bhakti when he attains Shraddha. This Shraddha is that firm faith that is awakened in relation to Sri Hari as a result of hearing Hari bhakti from the lips of pure saints or sadhu. So what is the adhikari or the qualification? It's Shraddha. It's the faith. In what? In a goal, in an objective. And what is that objective? It's the service of God. It's the ultimate nitya dharma. The eternal duty of the living entity is to serve God. And the faith is that that is the best thing to do. And you'll get that from association from sadhus. And that's the most essential thing. Most essential thing is to hear from and to serve sadhus. Association with saints is obtained by the influence of spiritual merits, sukriti, in previous births, along with sadha. The mood of surrender, sharanati, would also appear to some extent. This is such an important point. So how do you get sadha? Somehow or other, some spiritual merits. I remember I was in Colombia, and when I got there, I didn't have the address, and I had to find the address. And this one lady just was so eager to serve and to help. So she gets sukriti. She gets some good things she's done. And when that builds up, that's sukriti, sukriti. When it builds up to a certain level, when not just mechanically things checked off, but the condition of the heart to want to be open to that position of service, then you get sadhu sangha. It's almost if God is looking at us and waiting for the opening to give himself to us. And what is that opening? I want truth. Along with Shraddha, the mood of surrender will also appear to some extent. Because what is the Shraddha, the faith, that serving God is good. And therefore, you'll take shelter, Sharanagati. As a result of your faith that serving God is good, you will surrender to God and Sharanagata. You'll go for that shelter. We're looking for shelter, shelter where our needs will be met. The ultimate need is the heart to feel love, which requires the proper object of love. So when you get Shraddha, when you get faith in service, then you'll surrender. So faith is Sharanagati, and Sharanagati is an indication of faith. I have so much faith that serving God is good, that serving God is the best thing. I have so much faith that I will do everything that is favorable for serving God. I will avoid things that are unfavorable. I will be happy to accept the supremacy of God, vaikuntha satir, vaikuntha vijayo, the right situation, that's humility, that God is superior. And I am confident that in that relationship, I will be maintained and protected and can give myself fully. That is our faith. That is Sharanagati. Therefore, the only person eligible for Ananya Bhakti, one point of devotion, is he who has developed strong faith in these convictions. I will perform any favorable activity for Krishna Bhakti as my duty and abandon any activity unfavorable. Because why? I have faith that this is the ultimate duty, that this is the ultimate sublimity, that this is the most natural thing, that this is right and just and blissful. And therefore, as a symptom of my faith, it'll be these convictions. I will do anything that's favorable. There is so strong in the heart. I will avoid that which is unfavorable, so strong in the heart. And that Krishna is my protector. That in that relationship with God, who is the controller, then everything that's happening to me, I am convinced it is best. It is best for my soul and to bring me to my soul. And I accept him as the maintainer. He will provide everything I need. And what is the main thing I need? I need a relationship of eternal love. Without that, you have nothing. And until you achieve that, you're not successful. And also, I am extremely wretched and destitute, and my independent desire is not beneficial for me. So it's a certain humility that I have separated myself from God. I have separated myself from God, and I feel for it. I don't have that ego. I am great. I am the center. I am the control. There is none of that ego. I have left the Supreme Lord. And it's a clear vision. You see it. And you lament and you regret the foolish life independent from God. And on the other hand, your conviction is surrender completely to Krishna's desire is beneficial for me in every way. When the jiva attains this qualification, he becomes anxious to hear instructions on bhakti. And upon finding a bona fide spiritual master, Sadguru, he accepts shelter at his lotus feet. That is to say, he becomes the disciple of such a guru and accepts instruction, siksha, on bhakti from him. Tad vijnanar tam suburun eva gabichet samitthani shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Mundaka Upanishads 1.2.12. In order to obtain knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Reality, Sri Bhagavan, Bhagavat Vastu, the sincere soul must approach a Sadguru carrying firewood for sacrifice in his hands. In other words, he must approach Sadguru with transcendental faith in his heart and surrendered to him in every respect with mind, body, and words, and with all the humility at his command. The qualification of a bona fide guru is that he is well-versed in the Vedas, has realized the absolute truth, and is exclusively devoted to the service of Bhagavan. Acharya Van Purusha Veda. He who takes shelter of a bona fide guru, that is a guru whose conduct is proper, comes to know Param Brahman. So Acharya Van Purusha, you want to know the Vedas, you have to have a teacher. Just like you have a pharmacy, it's completely irrelevant to you unless you have a pharmacist that can negotiate between your condition and the medicine on the shelf. So the same way the Vedas is very, very vast, but its relevance only comes to light when one has acharya. And without acharya, then one filters everything through his own agenda, including the Vedas. The characteristic and symptoms of bona fide spiritual master Sadguru and a bona fide disciple such Shishya are given in detail in Hari Bhakti Vilas 123-64. In essence, only a person with pure character and firm faith, Sadha, is qualified to become a disciple, and only that person who is endowed with unalloyed bhakti, who knows the science of devotional service, bhakti tattva vit, and who is spotless character, simple without greed, free from the influence of Mayavad philosophy, and expert in all devotional activities, is generally qualified to be a guru. So, guru tattva. A brahmana who is adorned with these qualities and who is honored by the whole society can be guru to people from any of the other varnas or castes. There's no such brahmana. One must become the disciple of a guru who is situated in a higher varna than himself. But the principal import of these regulations is that leaving aside all considerations of varnasram, wherever a sincere soul finds a person who knows Krishna Tattva, he can accept him as guru. It may be the above-mentioned brahminical qualities are found in a person born in a Brahmin family, but those who carry pride in being born in a higher varna in the dynasty of Aryans can offer no more than conveniences to a person who accepts him as a guru. Only a genuine guru is guru in trust. It's based on faith. So in that type of culture, karmically, people in the mode of goodness and teachers were born in Brahmin family. So naturally, the Shastras would advise in that way. But what Babaji Maharaj here is saying, that's fine, socially that's fine, but that's not the highest criteria. The highest criteria is knowing the tattva. The secondary criteria is maybe that type of superiority in the modes of nature of the family can bestow faith. But ultimately, aho patasva pachito griyan yajiva grave artitanama tubhyam. One who has Krishna Nam with faith on his tongue, he's performed faith in all the holy rivers. Aho patasva pachito, it doesn't even matter if he's born in a dog eater family, his sukriti is vast. Shastra provides the rules by which the guru and the disciple are to mutually examine each other, as well as the time required for this examination period. The purport is that the guru will bestow his mercy upon the disciple only when he sees the disciple is qualified and when the disciple has developed genuine faith in him, understanding him to be a pure devotee. So the guru will not initiate someone unless they see that person's faith. Rather, they'll push people away. So the disciple is examining the guru, and the guru is examining the disciple's faith. Because he needs that faith to educate him. That's if you don't have faith in the teacher, you won't make the effort to understand what they're saying and what can be the question of learning, especially transcendental knowledge, which doesn't, by definition, conform to our limited frame of reference. And what to speak, what that knowledge may dictate to your life, that knowledge, that truth, when accepted, may crush your false ego. It may dictate the renunciation of things you're attached to, and may dictate the acceptance of things that you're not. So the guru is limited in his ability to enlighten the disciple according to the disciple's level of faith. There are two kinds of guru, the Diksha Guru, or initiating spiritual master who gives sacred mantra to the disciple, and the Siksha Guru, or the instructing spiritual master, one who has accepted initiation, Diksha, as well as instruction, Siksha, regarding the process of Archana from the Diksha Guru. There is one Diksha Guru, but there can be several Siksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is also competent to give instructions as the Siksha Guru, and often, or even usually is. Vijay, the Diksha Guru is not to be rejected, but if he's incompetent to give such Siksha, how can he be qualified to be a Siksha Guru? Good question. If the Diksha Guru is incompetent, then how can he also be the Siksha Guru? Babaji, before accepting a guru, one should examine him to see that he is expert in his understanding of the tattva, fundamental principles regarding absolute truth, spoken of in the Vedas, and that he has realized the supreme absolute reality, paratattva. If so, then he will certainly be capable of giving comprehensive instructions on all tattvas. Normally, there is no question of giving up the Diksha Guru. A guru should be abandoned, however, if either of these two circumstances prevail. The disciple may have accepted the guru without having first examined the guru's knowledge of tattva, whether or not the guru's qualities are befitting a Vaishnava, without carefully observing the guru's other qualifications. Later, however, he may experience that the guru is unable to help him spiritually. One who is in this situation should give up that guru. Many passages in Shastra provide evidence. Of course, this can't be done whimsically. And it is a real dilemma because disciple means that one is not yet fully mature in knowledge and vision. So it's just a question of the disciple assuming authority, he's likely to be misled. But these situations can arise. Yovyaktyanayarahitam Anyayena shrinoti ya tababhav narakam goram vrajita kalam akshayam. Both he who poses as an acharya, but who performs an act of injustice, that who gives instructions that are opposed to the shastra, and the disciple who mistakenly listens to him will reside in a terrible hell for an unlimited period of time. Next verse. Puru api yabaliptasya karya karyam ajanata. Mudaka Mahabharata Narada Pancha. It is indeed obligatory to reject the guru who does not know what is appropriate for the disciple and what is not, and who one finds to be on the wrong path, either because of bad association or because he is antagonistic to the Vaishnavas. One goes to hell if he accepts mantras from a guru who is not a Vaishnav, that is, from one who associates with women and who is devoid of Krishna bhakti. If one has accepted mantras from such a false guru according to the regulations of Shastra, one should receive the mantra again from a bona fide spiritual master. Normally, there is no question of giving up the Diksha Guru, but these are exceptions. Two, one's guru may be rejected if due to the influence of bad association, satsanga, he has become a Mayavadi or an antagonist to the Vaishnavas, even if he was a Vaishnava when the disciple accepted him as a guru and was well-versed in the principles of the spiritual truth. But the first example, he's not well-versed. He wasn't when he first met. And then the disciple discovers that he does not know Tattva. And the second, he knows Tattva when he was accepted as a guru, but somehow he's become inimical. It's actually one's duty to give up such a guru. However, if one has accepted a guru who is neither a Mayavadi, antagonistic to the Vaishnavas, nor attached to sinful activities, it is inappropriate to reject him simply because his spiritual knowledge is meager. One should still respect him as guru, and with his permission, one should go to another exalted Vaishnava who is well-versed in knowledge of spiritual truth and take instruction, siksha from him, serving him with one's full capacity. So even then, it's not proper to reject. Just the meager knowledge. Only if they're antagonistic to Vaishnavas or attached to sinful activities. Vijay, please tell us about accepting the Krishna mantra, Krishna Diksha, and also about siksha, receiving instructions regarding bhajan, instructions regarding those mantras. Babaji, while accepting siksha from Sri Gurudev on the process of deity worship, archana, and on pure devotional service to the Lord, one should be in a mood of simplicity, perform service to Sri Krishna, Krishna Seva, but also earnestly cultivate uninterrupted performance of pure spiritual service, fully abiding in, conscientious of, and devoted to the pleasure and welfare of Krishna. So this is the disciple's duty. Earnestly cultivate uninterrupted devotional service, abiding in, and conscientious and devoted to the pleasure and welfare of Krishna. Krishna anushilanam, that's bhakti. That you want Krishna to be pleased, that's bhakti. What does it mean to perform Guru Seva with faith? One should not consider Sri Gurudev to be mortal and ordinary man. Rather, one should understand to be the embodiment of all the demigods. One should never disobey him, and one should always know him to be transcendental being. Okay, on those words, we'll stop. Anybody say hello today?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, well, Gail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, well. Anybody else say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Bhagavad.
Thank you, Brother Roger. We have our faithful Jersey crew. I thought as we got further in Jiva Dharma, when we got into this kind of stuff, it would be more exciting for the people, but somehow this has lost a little interest. But thank you all. I have to go now, too, because I have so much to do for tomorrow. Thank you. Vanchikopa, Dubasek.